Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Gov Talk Podcast. Bryce and Chris coming at you. This is a recap of the Moorhead State game, the home opener. It was a great game. First of all, I just want to say it was awesome being there, officially covering my first game, being in the press box with the guys and just experiencing the game through a different lens was awesome. Great game to do it, too, because obviously, you know, it was a blowout game. There wasn't a whole lot of stress. So it was a great atmosphere. The environment was incredible. I mean, the fans were great. There was not a ton of empty seats. It was over 7,000 with the attendance, which is good against, you know, a bad opponent. So, obviously, the Govs won 56-7. Never in doubt, really. Pretty much immediately. And, Chris, I know you didn't get to be there, but what did you think? I know you were texting me for updates and stuff. I know you predicted like 63-3 or something.
65.
So you're probably not surprised, but what's your takeaway from the game?
Yeah, I forgot when I texted you the first time I was an hour ahead of you. Y'all weren't even in the gate yet when I was asking what was going on. So, it was just a dominant victory for the Govs, which, you know, I think we both expected. The first time I think I pulled up the score at the race, I think it was already 21-0. So, you know, got off to a quick start, which is something you really want to do against a, you know, inferior opponent. Let's just be real, you know, get them out, put them out of the misery quick and just kind of go from there. So, good result. And some of the highlights that I got to see were pretty good. Chris Parsons' long run, that was cool to see. And then something that I think I texted you or I mentioned to you was, you know, it was good to see them get the run game going. You know, I think that was the perfect opportunity for them to really improve on that part of their game.
Yeah, that was one of the things I said before the game was we both said, you know, we wanted to see if you can't run against Moorhead State, who can you run against, you know? So that was good to see because, you know, the guys had gotten off to kind of a slow start on the ground, which is to be expected. I mean, you're playing against Georgia, and then with Middle, Parson was hitting big throws all night, so you didn't really need to establish the run game. So it was nice to see that, like, yes, we do have a very capable running game, which I'm glad you brought that up because I have an interesting note about that. So this was the 8th most rushing yards all time in a single game. And would you like to take a guess as to – so it was over 400 total yards, right?
Just rushing?
Yeah.
Just rushing, okay.
If you would like to take a guess, it was 429 rushing yards, and Moorhead had 6, by the way. So 429-6 on the ground. That's domination, folks. Chris, would you like to guess when the last time before last weekend – the Govs got over 400 rushing yards in a game was?
Can't remember the year, but I remember a specific game versus Presbyterian.
So, yes, but the last time they went over, the most recent was actually 2018 Moorhead.
Okay.
So they did go over 400 against Presbyterian, but more recently was Moorhead in 2018. Okay. So we'll know that for next time we play Moorhead. Just go ahead and predict 400 rushing yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we said, I mean, it's good because, you know, now, you know, going into this weekend, your first conference opponent, you know, it was all just passing game, no run game. And so now you're really making Abilene focus on both the pass and the run. So it was good to really get that going this weekend. So
So something else that's cool about that, it was 700 total yards of offense, 700 exactly. And do you want to guess when the last time we went above 700 total yards in a game was?
Morehead again in 2018.
Yep, that's correct.
Yep.
And that was actually the all-time high, 758 total yards in 2018 against Morehead.
At Morehead, correct?
Yep, at
Yep.
Morehead. Yep.
I
So our
remember.
offense comes to play when they see Morehead on the other side of the field. So that's interesting. Also, talking about the run game again, how dominant the run game was. There was actually five players on our roster who had over 50 rushing yards,
Pretty impressive.
which is really, really impressive. I mean, you
Very
have,
impressive.
and you got to see a lot of people. I actually thought Malachi Dow looked really good. He came in at the end of the game, and that was kind of cool to see because you don't get to see that a whole lot. And I don't know if you knew this or not, Chris, but there towards the end, Blakely and Derringer came in at quarterback.
Oh, good.
So like
No, I
all
did not know that. Good.
yeah,
Good.
so that was kind of cool. And then they actually Davin Garinger ran twice for 12 yards. He had an 11-yard scramble. Austin Smith, he played the entire second half, and he looked incredible, man. Like, I mean, granted, you know who you're playing against, but still, I mean, he had 7 of 9 for 72 yards and a score. Just had no problem moving the ball with him. They didn't really try to a whole lot. I mean, at halftime, it was already 42-0 at halftime. So, coming out of the half, you didn't really need to do a whole lot. So they kind of were more passive with it. I don't know if you saw, but Moorhead's lone touchdown, Chris, came at the very end of the game, and it was a busted coverage with our backup defense in. And it was like their third string quarterback that threw the pass. They played four different quarterbacks, and we played four different quarterbacks. So that's interesting. They were kind of playing musical quarterbacks, which I told you before the game that the Carter Cravens, number nine, he started their first two games, and he didn't really do that good against the D2 team. And I told you I wasn't really that worried about him. Well, they ended up, Bryce Patterson actually ended up, playing for the majority of the game at quarterback. So, and then, like I said, on the ground, they were a complete non-factor. They had six total yards, six net rushing yards, and then 172 net passing yards, and most of those came in garbage time. They just completely were overmatched. They could not move the ball all night. And then it was cool because you had Steven Ellison the second got the interception for the Govs in the second half. And Carson Smith did not have to kick a field goal all night. He was 8 of 8 for extra points, though. Logan Leftrick only had to punt twice all game, and those were both in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. So completely utter domination. It was exactly what you wanted to see. It was the type of game that you needed, especially with all of the conference games coming up. So
I
definitely the
think,
type of game you
well,
needed.
yeah, those, Carson, we know what he can do. He's proven that first two games. But beyond that, I was actually looking at that interception. Good for him on that. And like I said, just a dominant defensive showing for the Govs. Only 6 rushing yards is insane.
Yeah, and then you had total just like I said, there were several sacks. You had just a dominant defensive performance. I don't know how else to put it. It was great. It was great to see, especially with, like I said, the game this week, which we'll talk about on Thursday. Did you see the Javius Bond long touchdown at the beginning of the game?
I did not, no.
So it was the second score. Let me make sure that's right. Yeah, so Chris Parson had the long run at the very beginning of the game, 60-yard run.
I didn't see that.
Literally 3 minutes later, our next offensive possession, Javius Bond had an 84-yard touchdown. And then, you know, Corlin Simmons, I was happy for him because he got a couple touchdowns under his belt. Parson, Bond, Groves, and Simmons, and Corey Richardson all got rushing touchdowns. And it was really cool to see Isaiah Groves because that's, you know, we hadn't seen him much. There was a lot of guys that you saw for the first time. Like, for example, tight end, a couple tight ends, actually, Alec Pell and Julian Randolph. So Julian Randolph, if y'all will remember from the preview show, Julian Randolph was a North Carolina transfer. And he hadn't really gotten in the game because Jackson Head's been great, but Randolph finally got to play, and he caught two passes for 47 yards and a score. Kamari Maxwell had a couple more big catches. Corlin Simmons, did you see Corlin Simmons' receiving stats?
Did. Five catches or 107 yards.
He was the leading receiver, yeah. So that was cool to see as well. And then you have Ted Gayden got in the game, got a catch. Jay Skoglund got in the game, got a catch. Jade Nealon got a couple catches, so – it was definitely cool. Shamar Kirk had one catch for 11 yards. He had a touchdown. I think it was Austin Smith. He threw a perfect ball to him in the end zone, and he just couldn't. He couldn't catch. It was in a tight window though. I mean, he had a couple guys around him, but he had another. The score, we could have broke 60, but I don't think anybody's going to complain.
What about? I think something that was pretty cool to see and that got noticed on, you know, social media a little bit was Chandler Curtin's, the big guy's touchdown.
Yeah, the big man touchdown.
Touchdowns. You got to love them.
Yeah, so there were 7 total rushing touchdowns. Yeah, and one of them was by Curtin. So that was really cool to see. He, you know, that's a guy that's Jeff Ferris, like Coach Ferris, can't say enough positive things about him. Like every time he gets mentioned, he just has the most glowing review of him. And rightfully so. I mean, he's been here for years. He could have transferred out. I mean, this is the preseason all-conference guy, one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet. He could have been playing somewhere, and he didn't. He stayed here. He's a high-character guy building the team. And then they rewarded him with that touchdown, which was had to be super cool. And in the post-game presser, I asked Coach Ferris if that was planned or if that was kind of something like, hey, we're killing these guys. Let's just try this. And he said they actually practice it like a lot.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they had that in the playbook to use when, you know, when the time comes. So
I like it. They got that in their back pocket if they ever want to use it again.
Yeah. So it was cool. And another thing Coach mentioned in the presser was Chris Parson, like if you go back and rewatch the highlights, Chris Parson was like happier than Curtin. Like he was so happy yeah. for him to get that touchdown, and that was really cool to see.
Well, that's what you like. I was gonna say that's what you like to see, you know, out of your, you know, is the guy that doesn't really get a whole lot of attention, you know, gets his moment.
Yeah, like
deservingly so, but.
Like, offensive line isn't the sexiest position. Like, we obviously know who they all are, but your casual fan is going to see, like, this big guy getting a touchdown and be like, what the hell? So, that was cool. And like I said, it was cool to see Alec Pell back. You know, he missed the first couple of games with an injury. And then something that I noticed when I – another thing I asked Coach Ferris and the presser, before the game, when I was walking around the field getting pictures and stuff, and I saw – Miles Wiley, who's a captain starting safety, he was on crutches, and he didn't end up playing. And I asked if that was something that kind of just happened or if they were expecting that to be a long-term thing. It's not going to be a long-term thing. He's going to be fine. it's something that kind of just came up, and they were out of an abundance of caution per Ferris. So we still have no major injuries. You still have the Stonebreaker injury. He still hasn't come back since midway through the first half of the first game. But other than that, they've stayed remarkably healthy entering into conference play, which you love to see.
Yeah, definitely got to have a healthy squad, especially going into the conference and opening up on the road. So good to hear that guys are going into it pretty healthy.
Yeah, so Thursday we'll obviously talk about the game, Abilene at Abilene, to open up conference play. So that'll be interesting to see. I think last thing I want to say, the environment was so good. I hope it should only be better. I mean, because you're playing Moorhead. It's not a conference game. It's not like, you know, Moorhead's probably not the biggest draw that we're going to have. But it was still cool. You know, the home opener, you really had a great environment. There was a ton of young people there, people that I didn't really see last year. Even the VIP zones were pretty full. So it was a great experience. I hope everybody comes out to the fort, keep it rocking all fall.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I heard nothing but positive reviews on the crowd from Saturday night. So obviously I would like to see a little bit more than 7,000, but maybe I'm just being a little can't think of the word I'm trying to find right now, but yeah, win a few more games and we can have some more people there. Definitely get closer to filling out.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, I think a little bit of it is like last year, you know, you had lost, what was it, 5 home games in a row.
Yeah. So
I think that played a role too, you know, because people were probably bummed out from last year, but rightfully so, I guess. But
yep. You
got to come out, because this is a great – I mean, it's a great atmosphere. They do such a good job. The whole game day operations crew does such a fantastic job, like Jacob Height and all them. Like they do so good at making it a family fun, you know, experience for everybody. So I think everybody should get out to the fort. And, you know, looks like we have a hell of a team too, so that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, hopefully the Govs after this weekend can give them another good excuse to come out the following weekend.
Well, you know what they say, if you win, they will come.
Yep, that is very true. I was just about to say that.
And then we have a chance, you know, to make some noise this weekend because it's a rank v rank matchup.
Yep, there'll be a lot of eyes on this game.
I mean, you got to look at it though, like from what I've seen from this team so far this year from the Govs, when they're playing at their best, I don't know if there's any team in the conference that's going to beat them. I really don't. I mean, this team is special when they play at their best, and I know they're capable of making a deep run. I mean, obviously, Tarleton looks pretty freaking good.
That's, you know, we'll
– You know what? Why don't we go ahead and why don't you run through the UAC scoreboard for us?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because that was the first game other than ours, obviously, that was one game I was looking at, was Tarleton at Central Arkansas in Conway, and it was, I think, 42-7 at halftime.
Yeah, it was over.
Which really, that is one place the Govs have just not had any luck at all whatsoever is on the stripes and at Central Arkansas. So I thought that was incredibly impressive to have that big of a lead at halftime at Central Arkansas, and don't want to look into it too much. You know, only 3 weeks into the season, but Central Arkansas may not be as good as advertised. Maybe.
So
we'll see.
I'm pretty confident in telling you they're not very good.
Yeah. I mean, so
don't clip this if it goes horribly when we play. Right. From what I've seen and my feel of it, some people I've talked to, I think this is a down year for Central Arkansas. They're going to finish in the bottom three of the conference, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you look at their one, Absolutely. They didn't even put up a fight against Missouri. And they didn't really put up a fight against Tarleton. Their only win is Pine Bluff, who's frequently wins one game. I mean, Pine Bluff is one of the worst teams that you could play, so that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah,
I don't think Central Arkansas is that good. Not to take anything away from Tarleton. I mean, Tarleton is just bludgeoning everybody they play.
Tarleton is a beast. And I was going to say that's the one team you can kind of look at. You know, we've watched all three games of ours. That's the one team you can look at and be like, all right, that team might give us the hardest test. I didn't get to watch any of the Central Arkansas game, but I did watch the Army game, and then I think a lot of people watched their Week Zero game. I mean, they look quite impressive.
I mean, yeah, they do. I mean, there's no way to put it. Army's the only game that they had that was even somewhat close, and Army was a borderline playoff team last year. So,
But to move on from them, Utah Tech, the Govs' next home opponent, went to Idaho and lost 20-6. North Alabama played Northeastern State, who I did not know was a school, 49-21. And then he had our score. And then the game of the night in the conference, I think, had to be West Georgia hosting ETSU. ETSU had a late lead, and West Georgia threw a touchdown, 2-yard touchdown pass with like less than 10 seconds to go, to get the 35-31 win. They're now 3-0, and shocking a lot of people, including myself.
I mean, that's got to be the surprise team in the conference, right? I mean,
it has to be.
We thought the Govs were going to be good like they are. We thought Tarleton was going to be good like they are.
Yep.
Nobody thought West Georgia was going to be good. Not even the coaches thought they were going to be good.
Well, to be fair, not to throw all the coaches under the bus, they didn't think we were going to be very good either. So
they basically just did the reverse stand. They just did the standings from last year. And
I agree.
But I mean, I keep up with it, you know, pretty good. Like I keep up with the transfer portal stuff, the recruiting stuff, and I mean, I had no reason to think West Georgia was going to be good, but apparently they are. I mean. Yep. Not a fluke anymore. Yeah. I mean, they destroy Samford in week one, which, you know, that you can write up as fluky because they always destroy Samford, apparently.
Seems like it, yeah.
But then, like, destroying Nichols, man. Like, Nichols was ranked at the time.
Nichols is, usually a playoff team that is right there in the hunt every season out of Southland. So, yeah, that's
– I mean, beating them by 20 points, that's pretty impressive. And then, you're losing to East Tennessee State, who, by the way, that's Will Healy, if anybody didn't know that. And, you know, he has Jacoby Criswell and Cade McNamara, two quarterbacks who you've probably seen play college ball before. Like, I don't think ETSU is a bad team by any stretch. And they couldn't hold on against West Georgia, man. So that tells you, like, that would have been – you would have never believed me if I told you that a year ago.
Yeah. Like, oh, West no, Georgia, absolutely you know, not.
It's wild. Did you talk about Abilene? That's – you know,
I have not. No, I'm getting to there. So the two games before we get to Abilene, Marshall, our new friends Marshall –
Let's go.
They took care of business against EKU 38-7, getting their first win of the year. And now they come up our way, or I guess down our way, I guess I should say, against a familiar opponent with the Govs this year at MTSU. And then
that's kind of crazy, like the connections. Yeah. It's like Gerald going to Marshall, right? And then we both play Georgia. We both play MTSU. We both play EKU.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I'm rooting for them. Herd mentality.
Yep. So I think if it wasn't for the West Georgia and ETSU score, I think the Northern Arizona Southern Utah game would have been the game of the night. 52-49. Southern Utah come out with the loss, unfortunately, at Cedar City. And then Abilene, the Govs' next opponent, went to TCU and lost 42-21. I didn't get to watch any of this game, obviously, but from what I've read from some of the Abilene fans on Twitter. They put up a good fight against the TCU team that was, correct me if I'm wrong, was in the national championship just 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, they
You
got
know,
bludgeoned,
so
but yeah, they made it. I think it's crazy. Like that was kind of like their Georgia game for us. Like nobody expected them to beat TCU, but they did hang. They hang pretty tough. I mean, their running back, Abilene's running back, they have a real player there. Banks Jr. Yeah, Banks had 105 yards and a touchdown against TCU. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So, I
And
mean.
they're and Stone Earl, their starting quarterback, was 22 of 29 for 276 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You want to know something else crazy about that? Guess where Stone Earl played college last year?
The name sounds very familiar when I just saw it.
Marshall.
Marshall,
There's another connection.
oh wow.
Yeah, so that's they're a real team, man. Like, don't let their 1-2 record fool you. I mean, it's early. It's their season is basically just started, so some teams are not going to be what the record says they are because they're playing against real teams.
Well, a lot of the FCS voters think very highly of them to put them in the 13 and 14 ranking
That's
spot.
true. I mean, they did beat Stephen. I mean, their one win is Stephen F. Austin, which is a quality win. And then the week one thing is weird to me because they get blown out by Tulsa, and like that was on a lot of lists of like
Upset.
FCS upsets that could happen, and they just completely got blown out. And like I was thinking, okay, well, Tulsa, you know, Trey Lamb is their coach now. He was the former ETSU coach. And I think pretty highly of him. Maybe Tulsa's good now, but they're not. They went out and got destroyed, you know, pretty much every game they played since then, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know. That was just a weird game. I would have expected them to put up a better fight there. And then, you know, Southern Utah, you got to feel kind of bad for them because I don't know if you've looked at their scores, but they could easily be 3-0.
Yeah, I have seen that. Yeah, they've all right there within striking distance of flipping that loss to a win.
And I mean, before this week, Utah Tech could easily be 2-1. I mean, they were beating UC Davis for most of the game, and they almost beat Northern Arizona, which Northern Arizona has had 2 weeks in a row of like nail biter games against UAC teams.
Yeah, I mean, USC is gonna be it's gonna be a tough conference. There's gonna be some games, not even, involving Austin Peay that are gonna surprise a lot of us, I think.
I think that at this point, everybody's played at least 3 games, which you can start to like identify trends there. And I think ev literally everybody in the UAC, I think, scares me and is, you know, probably exceeding expectations or at least meeting them, except for 3 teams. EKU, North Alabama, and Central Arkansas are the 3 teams that I think have been the most disappointing. I mean, you look at EKU. I mean, they didn't even put up a fight against Louisville. They beat Houston Christian by 10. Houston Christian is terrible. They didn't put up a fight against Marshall. I mean, they lost by just as many to Marshall as they did to Louisville. So that's, you know, who knows? Conference play hasn't started. It'll be interesting to see because East Carolina EKU plays West Georgia this week. So
That was
that'll be a good litmus test.
one of my, other than ours, I think conference wise, you have to look at ours as the game of the week. But yeah, that would be another game that was surprisingly get a lot of people's attention. I think if you asked a few weeks ago, any game involving West Georgia, they're not going to be too excited about checking it out. But yeah, now it might be different.
Yeah, and then, you know, North Alabama got bludgeoned by WKU in week one, lost by 50 points. And then they got handled by Southeast Missouri, which Southeast Missouri is usually pretty good. And then, you know, they beat a congrats, you beat a D2 team by 20. So we'll definitely find out a lot more next weekend.
Yeah, I think one team that I kind of feel bad for. Yours was Southern Utah, and mine's kind of Central Arkansas. You get blown out at home on your own turf by Tarleton, and now you got to go all the way to Sacramento State.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a road trip, isn't it?
As our 2019 team would tell you, yes, it is. That's a long road trip.
And Sac State's one of those teams that like had a lot of hype coming into the season. They had a really good transfer class. Like they have a bunch of players. They have a ton of former FBS guys on their roster. I mean, Jaden Rashada is their quarterback. Do you remember Jaden Rashada?
Name sounds familiar. Yeah.
So I mean, he was a five-star. He was a five-star prospect, and he kind of bounced around. Like he played for Arizona State, and then he went to Georgia.
Okay, that's where I heard the name.
He transferred from Georgia to Sac State, but he was a five-star guy. Like,
yeah,
that's a legit. Like, they have some legit players on that team. So you factor that in, and you got to go across the country to play. I mean, that's not a enviable schedule. Well, Govs, recapping again, dominate 56-7, 700 total yards of offense for the Govs, seven rushing touchdowns, including Chandler Curtin's. Chris Parson played a perfect game almost, 11-14, 199 yards, plus he had a 60-yard rushing touchdown. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. Exactly last week what we were saying, everything that we said needed to happen to be a perfect game happened.
Is there one thing – you were there, obviously, but is there one thing you could look at and say the Govs need to improve upon after that game?
Oof, after that game? I will say that the middle of the pass – like, we give up some passes. We really do. I mean, in the middle of the field especially. And I know that doesn't help that Stonebreaker's out because Stonebreaker would be right there. But I did notice – I don't know if it's just because we play a lot of two safety stuff, so we have the deep, you know, so we don't get beat deep. But we do leave the flats open quite a bit. So if we play some of these teams that have, no offense to Moorhead, better athletes, like real athletes, it might hurt us getting these little intermediate passes. That seems like the one weakness so far. We're not the best at intermediate passing. And the run defense leaves a little bit to be desired. Obviously, this week it didn't. But, again, when you're playing against real athletes, that'll be different, I think. I do because, for example, West Georgia is a great running team. West Georgia, I think, is going to be a really big test for our defense. I want to see more production from the three guys up front.
Well, I mean, this weekend, you know, against Abilene is going to be a good test, too. I mean, they had a running back just this past weekend against TCU run over 120 yards.
Yeah, they're running back. Abilene's running back's legit.
So yeah, that's gonna be a test right out the gate for the Govs. So yeah, we'll talk more about that on Thursday. But yeah, that's definitely gonna be my primary focus on Saturday's game for sure.
Yep. So we had another little tidbit I wanted to tell y'all. I put it out on Twitter, but. Friend of the show, Dorian Davis, former Austin Peay corner. Finally, I don't know what people are waiting on. I don't know what they needed to see. Dorian finally got his first professional contract with the Green Bay Blizzard and the Indoor Football League. So, great opportunity for him. They're actually a really good team in the IFL. They won their conference. They were the conference champions last year. So, he's going to a good team, and he's going to get to play, hopefully, get some tape out there, and we'll see what awaits him in the future. But happy for him. He deserved a shot. He should have been invited to a mini camp.
Yeah, good. Good for him. I remember we had him here on the podcast and got to talk to him. So, yeah, I know he's excited, and he'll make the most of that opportunity.
For sure.
And
all right, anything else you want
to? Yeah, I was going to give the Govs Hockey Club a shout-out. Going 1-1 over the weekend. Cooper came on here last week and talked about the Govs hockey club, and they fell Friday evening and then bounced back on Saturday with the win. And now they'll be home for their home opening series versus the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep.
At the Ford Ice Center on, I believe, on Friday and Saturday. It might be Saturday and Sunday, but I think it's Friday and Saturday. So if you're not going to Abilene, which I can't imagine too many people are, and you want to support the Govs, Ford Ice Center is the place to do it.
Absolutely. All right. So like you said, we'll be back Thursday night. Expect that preview to come up. It'll be first thing Friday morning. We have the preview up for you. So driving to work Friday on your lunch break, you want to find out what's going on with Abilene. There you go. All right. Let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans. This is Dr. Kevin Kennedy, Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.